Today's blot is Daf Lamed Vav, but we're going to begin 8 lines from the bottom on Lamed Hey Amud Beis. Yesterday we were learning about the different blowing or the shofar that they did on Friday afternoon to let people know that Shabbos was approaching. We're not going to focus on that part of the sugya today. We're going to focus on another issue. Amar Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina. That if somebody wants to still light candles after the 6 tekiyas are blown, madlik, he still may. Ay, it's already Shabbos. Says Rabbi Yosi, the Chazal gave the Shamus, who's blowing the shofar, time. He's not going to leave his shofar. He has to carry it to his home. Since he's going to carry it to his home, during that interval is not yet Shabbos. So you could still chaperein and light Shabbos candle. Omeloi, so they said, we disagree. Because imkei nosata dverech l'shurim. We have a rule for all of Shas. Wherever we have a shear, a set shear, whether it's for anything, Chazal were very careful to stay consistent. Saying that we're going to give the Shamus a chance to go home is a shear that lends itself to inconsistency, because I may live near the shul, near where we blow the shofar, and it'll take me a minute to get home, and the next person may live in the next city 10 minutes away. So Chazal don't make shiurim that are inconsistent. What do they do? On the roof where they blew the shofar from, they used to build like a chest or a secluded place, because over there he put the shofar. And continues the braisa, the gemara, since the halacha is you're not allowed to carry a shofar or chatzaitzus or trumpets on Shabbos, if it's already Shabbos, as soon as he finishes blowing, he'll be transgressing carrying muksa. So he did was Shabbos is right away after he blows, but what's he going to do with the shofar? Right on the spot, he has a chest where he can leave it till after Shabbos. So there's a very fundamental question in Hilchos Muksa here, and we'll say it this way: the Magen Avraham asked this question. The halacha is on Shabbos you're allowed to do a bris milah if it's the zman. If the 8th day comes on Shabbos, you're allowed to do a bris milah. The halacha is that the knife with which the meal is done is muksa. We're going to learn the Gemara, it's muksa machmas chasaron kis. So the question is, let's say a moel does a bris and he finishes. So what's he supposed to do with the knife? So the halacha is, as long as the knife is still in his hand, he could carry it and put it down. If he puts it down, he can't pick it up anymore, it's muksa. But while he has it in his hand, he could put it wherever he wants. So we have a very fundamental question. The Gemara asks, I blew the shofar because of Shabbos. What should I do with the shofar? There's no problem. I'm allowed to carry it and put it down as long as it's in my hand. So why does the Gemara have any problem in the first place? It's the Magen Avraham's question. It's a very difficult question. The Gross has an interesting answer. The Gross says like this: when do we say that you're allowed to continue carrying muksa? Is if Chazal let you carry the muksa, then Chazal tell you can continue carrying it. As long you picked it up a heter, you picked it up with permission, you could continue carrying it and deposit it wherever you want, since you picked it up. Here, with a heter, with permission. Here, you didn't pick it up with permission, you didn't need a heter. Because when you picked it up, it was still Erev Shabbos. So when is there a heter to continue carrying muksa? When you had a heter to pick it up, the heter continues until you put it down. Here you didn't need a heter, so as soon as Shabbos comes, you have to put it down. So right now we learned that on Shabbos you're not allowed to carry a shofar or chatzaitzus because they're muksa. Ask the Gemara of Tanya, shofar metaltel, the chatzaitzus and metaltel, that you're allowed to carry a shofar, as we'll learn in a moment, because the shofar could be used as a cup, but you can't to give a child to drink. But the chatzaitzus, which are straight, Rashi explains, they can't be used as a cup because the water will just spill out. And metaltel. So right away we have a question. Here we said you can't carry the first braisa says you can't carry not a shofar and not a chatzaitzus on Shabbos. The second braisa says shofar yes, chatzaitzus not. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef loy kasha. Can be yochid. An individual could carry a shofar because he could use his own shofar for giving his child to drink. But tzibur, a shofar that belongs to the tzibur, to the shul, is a public property that I can't use as a cup, and therefore it's muksa. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abayu, b'yochle ma'ichazi. What are you telling me? My own shofar could be used. It could be used. However, royal gabe my mayim latinik. I could use it as a cup for my child. Ask the Gemara, but tzibur nami chaz latinik ani. The tzibur, the public, has an obligation to feed the poor people. So let's say there's going to be in shul a poor young child, and they need to give him a drink. They'll use the shofar. So what are you telling me that the shofar of tzibur can't be used, is muktzah? Because it's not going to be used for any individual, it only be used for blowing. And blowing shofar is also on Shabbos. No, the tzibur has to give a child to drink on Shabbos. It's very interesting concept in Hilchos Muktzah. In the next parak, we're going to learn Hilchos Muktzah. Here we see that you could have the exact same item, which will be muktzah for me, and not muktzah for someone else. Because the Gemara is saying that you have a shofar, for Yochid, it's not muktzah, and the exact same shofar for a tzibur is muktzah. I'll give you a wonderful example of this concept. Let's say somebody leaves by me a set of dishes that I should watch for him. The halach is, we all learned in Chumash, that if I'm watching, if I'm a shomer, if I'm watching somebody's articles, I'm not allowed to use them. So you left with me your set of dishes. I'm not allowed to use them. You have a set of dishes, and they won't be and they'll be muksa. But what about the owner? If the owner comes to my home and he wants to eat, he'll be able to use those dishes. They're perfectly fine. So here you have an item which for one person it's muksa, and for the next item, for the next person, it's not muksa. And the same concept here. So the Gemara is saying that even the shofar of the tzibur should not be muksa because it can be given to this oni. Vesu, and now the Gemara quotes a third brisa. Hada Tanya, we learned another brisa. Kshem shemetatlam sa shofar, just like you're allowed to move a shofar, ka metatlam sa chatzaitris. That you're allowed to carry the shofar and the chatzaitris. Mani, who's this brisa going to come out like? So the Gemara's question is that right now we have three brises. In the short time that we learned today, we already learned three brises. One brisa says that in Shabbos you can't carry not the shofar, not the chatzaitris. The second brisa says that you carry the shofar and not the chatzaitris, and the third brisa says that you can carry both. Says the Gemara Loikasha, Harab Yehuda, the brisa that says you can carry a shofar and not the chatzaitris is going like Rabbi Yehuda. As we've said already, there's a machloikas Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about muksa. But as we've explained this, the machloikas is not if we agree with the concept of muksa. Everybody agrees to the concept of muksa. The question is, how broad do we apply it? Rav Shimon has the most limited application. Rabbi Yehuda has a wider application. And now we're going to learn Rav Nechemya, who has even a wider application. Rabbi Yehuda says like this. We give it a broader definition. So shofar, which in those days at least was commonly used for drinking, so Rabbi Yehuda will say it's not muksa. Chatzaitris, which are not normally used for anything else, is muksa. Not as a machloikis, when Gemara says here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shofar is not muksa. What does he mean? That it's not muksa at all, and you can move it under all circumstances? Or does it mean it's a kli shel melachta le'isser, what the halacha of a kli shel melachta le'isser can only be carried l'tzarech gufay mekaymay? But certainly Rabbi Yehuda will say, shofar is not muksa, chatzaitris are. Rav Shimon, who has a limited definition of muksa, will say shofar and chatzaitris both have the same din, and they're not muksa. Again, the question is, when the Gemara is saying, according to Rav Shimon, it's not muksa, does he mean that it's not muksa at all, or does it mean that it'll be muksa tzarech, it'll be a klish malach del iser, and Rav Shimon will agree also that it's only mutter to be carried the tzarech gufa mekaymai, machlokes harishonim. Rav Nechemya is a third shita. Rav Nechemya's shita is ein kli nitel ela tzarech tashmishoy, which means as follows. Rav Nechemya means that if you have a knife, so everybody would tell you a knife is not muksa. It's a knife. But let's say you want to use your knife for what a knife is normally not used for. Knife is usually used to cut, and you want to use a knife to pry something open or whatever. Rav Nechemya will tell you that you can't use that you can't move it for that purpose. So now, a shofar. A shofar is made mainly to be a shofar, to blow. People may use it as a cup, but since it's not made as a cup, it's made to blow. Rav Nechemya will say that a chatzoitris and even a shofar will be muksah. How Rav Nechemya? Not ask the Gemara a question. Which price are we attributing to Rav Nechemya? The first price that we learned today. Sheima tatan lois a shofar v'lois a chatzoitris. So the question is obvious. Given a choice, which is more obvious that it's muksa? Chatzoitris, because even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that chatzoitris is muksa. Shofar, Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemya disagree. If Rabbi Nechemya holds that a shofar is muksa, why does the Braisa have to tell me chatzoitris? It's obvious. And like the Rishonim say, if the Braisa would have said chatzoitris first, I can explain. We start with the smaller chiddush and we work our way up to the bigger chiddush. But once the Braisa tells you that a shofar is muksa, so it's obvious that the chatzoitris are muksa. Why did the Braisa have to say it? Answers the Gemara of Chizda. Damer of Chizda. Hani tlats mili isht nishmayu michichar beis hamikdash. There were three things that the name changed after the beis hamikdash was destroyed. Chatzoitra, shofar, and shofar chatzoitra. A shofar, till the beis hamikdash stood, was a shofar, what we call a shofar. And chatzoitras were the trumpets. But in the time when the Gemara was written, what they called shofar is what's really chatzoitras. And what they called chatzoitras is what's really shofar. So now the braisa works well. The shofar is the chatzoitras. That's a smaller chiddush that it's muksa. And the braisa works its way up. First we say shofar, which are the chatzoitras you know how to carry. And even the chatzoitras, which are the shofar, which can be used as a cup, also may not be carried according to Rav Nechemya. It's interesting, just to mention, we're not learning hilchos muksa, but Tosfos discusses here, the Tosfos of Rav Nechemya goes into the question if plates, after you eat on Shabbos, are you allowed to move the plates from the table? Because they're really muksa. Because you're not going to use those plates over. Why are you allowed to move them? So Taisu discusses it. But what's the question I want to discuss? We just mentioned that a kli shel malach de l'isser is muksa, but you're allowed to move it l'tzarech gufa mekaymai. What's the classical case of tzarech gufa mekaymai? That I have a hammer. A hammer is a kli shel malach de l'isser because a hammer is used for building, and building, and now I build on Shabbos. But let's say I want to use a hammer lefatzei by a goyzim to break as a nutcracker. That's called tzarech gufoy, and I'm allowed to move the hammer. What tzarech mekaymai? So the simple definition of tzarech mekaymai is that I have the hammer on my table and I want to eat there, so I'm allowed to move it because I need that place. What's going to be the halacha? And this question could come up. What's going to be the halacha? You have something on the table, but you don't need the spot where that is. Let's talk a halacha l'maaseh shaila. Somebody left a pen on the table Friday afternoon. Now, how much room does the pen take up? It takes up no space. And it's not where anyone sits. So you can't say tzarech mekaymai, you need the place where the pen is. You don't need the place. But the question is, you need the place because you need the place to be clean. It bothers you that on your Shabbos table, there's a pen. It bothers you that on your Shabbos table there's a hammer. You don't need the spot where the hammer is. But the mekaymai, you want that the mekaymai should look different. What will be the halacha? Will that be included in the heter of tzarech mekaymai? So Moshe says it would be included in the heter of tzarech mekaymai, and you can move the pen or the hammer just because it's bothering you that the makam should look that way. Better to do it with a shinui, but if not, you can move it straight. And you certainly could pick it up and take it. Once you pick it up, we learned you could take it wherever you want. You don't have to drop it on the floor. You could take it and put it in the right place. Not in Lamay Nafkamina. So we said that they turned the name of Shofar to Chatzoitris, Chatzoitris to Shofar. Why do we need to know Laloch Lamaisa? The Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. For the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, that we need to know what we're supposed to use. The next thing is Arava. Arava is one of the Dalaminim. Well, what was originally Arava is called Tziftzifa now, and was originally called Tziftzifa is now called Arava. Lamay Nafkamina. What's Nafkamina? The Lulav. We know we need our rovers for the Dalaminim. The question is, what should we take? So we should take what they called in their times Siftzifa. Next, Psaira Psarta was originally called Psaira, which means a big table, is not called Psarta. And what's originally called Psarta is not called Psaira. Lamay Nafkamina. What's Nafkamina? Lameke Chumemker. That if I make a contract with you that I'm going to buy a Psaira, you can give me a small table. If I make a contract with you, I'm going to buy a Psarta, you have to give me a big table. So the Chassam asks a very fundamental question. He says, on the other things, on the shofar, on the arava, I can understand. Because the halachas, you have to blow a shofar. So I need to know, what is a shofar? The halachas, you have to take an arava. I need to know, what is an arava? When I make a deal with you, let's say we're sitting by a table. Today, this is called a table. Let's say 1,000 years ago, this was called a chair. A chair was called a table, and a table was called a chair. What's the difference? We're talking the language that we talk today. The language of 1,000 years, of course, makes no nafkamina. So why is the Gemara, if the Gemara is going to go in this direction, you could say in every word, any word could change terminology. So he tries to understand what's the Gemara trying to accomplish with saying this. He doesn't really say an answer. Amar Baya, Afanan Namar. Since we're talking about name changes, I'll give you one. Havlila by Kasi, and by Kasi Havlila. So the Gemara, we'll just say this quickly, we'll learn the Gemara Masechta Chulin. A kosher animal has four stomachs. The first stomach is a keres. That's fine. The last stomach is called the keva. That's okay. The second stomach is called a beikasi. And the third stomach, the Gemara Masechta Chulin calls it hemsis. Our Gemara calls it havlila. That was the rabbinic name for it. The rabbinic name for the hemsis was havlila. So it says the Gemara that havlili was changed to beikasi, and beikasi was changed to havlila. Ask the Gemara l'may nafkamina. L'machet shenimtzis b'ayvi b'yakosis. If you have a needle penetrating this base of kosis, the mitzadach ksheira, if it penetrates only one layer, it's kosher. Or mishneit stodim, if it penetrates two sides, it's treifa. What does the Gemara mean? The halacha is like this. Again, Masechta Chulin discusses treifas. If an animal is treif, you're not allowed to eat it. One of the ways the animal is treif is if it gets a defect. A beikosis, what the second stomach of beikosis is, it has two layers. So even if a needle penetrates one layer, it's not treif, because the second layer is still fine. However, the third stomach of a hemsis only has one layer. So if a needle penetrates there, it's treif. So now if somebody comes to Rav and he says, I'm bringing you to Avlila, and the needle penetrates one layer, I need to know, is it the beikosi, which it won't be treif, or is it the hemsis, and it will be treif? Omer Vashi af ananoimer. We'll also tell you something that got changed. Bursif. Bavel is Bursif, and Bursif is Bavel. What was originally called Bavel is now Bursif, and what was originally Bursif is now Bavel. Ask the Gemara l'may nafkamina. What's the difference? Legite noshim. So Rashi says two explanations. The first explanation Rashi gives is that we all learned the first Mishnah Masechta Gittin, that if somebody brings a get, a divorce, if a shlich brings a divorce from Medina Sayyam, from overseas to Eretz Yisrael, from overseas, he has to say, b'fonei nechta, b'fonei nechta. I'm not going to review it, we'll learn Masechta Chulin. But says the Gemara, that if you bring a get from Bavel, you don't have to say b'fonei nechta, b'fonei nechta. Says the Gemara, why? Because shiars mitzuyos. Number one, the Gemara said there were people constantly traveling back and forth. So if there'll be a problem with the get, we could always get it certified that way. And second of all, the people in Bavel knew the halachas that you have to write a get lishma. So now we need to know, is this Bavel or is this Bursif, to know what is the halacha, is b'fonei nechta have to be said or not. What's the problem with this pshat? Let's see. What's the difference if it's called Bavel or Bursif? Let's see. Is this a place where Shayaris Mitzuyas, where people are traveling, and people know the halacha, then it's no problem. If it's not, it's not. The name is not the issue. So that's why Rashi says a different pshat. The different pshat is that the halacha is when you write a get, you have to write in the name of the city. So you have to know, what is the city's name, Bavel or Bursif? Tosfos asks a kash on this pshat. Because he says Bavel is like the United States. If a get or a ksuba are written, you don't write the country's name, you write the city's name. If you're writing a ksuba, let's not talk about getting, let's talk about ksuba. So if you're writing a ksuba in Manhattan, you'll write Manhattan, New York, Brooklyn, New York. You won't write Brooklyn, USA. So it doesn't make a difference why Bavel or Bursa's name changed. It's the name of a country, not the name of a city. Hanelof Mehmed Likin, Hanelof Mehmed Likin, Hanelof Mehmed Likin. Tosfos seems to be learning like Rashi's pshat, but he has a kasha, the second pshat, but he has a kasha. Now, before we begin this perek, just to say, this perek has two parts to it. The first part talks about bishul, about cooking on Shabbos. The second part talks about muksa. When we get to muksa, we'll give an introduction of muksa. The halacha is, the Rama says, that on Shabbos there's an inyan to eat hot food. Why is there an inyan to eat hot food on Shabbos? For two reasons. First of all, it's an oinik Shabbos. We learned That was the whole concept of the previous parak, that you're supposed to enjoy Shabbos, and eating hot food is an enjoyment. So that's why you should eat hot food. And that's why the halacha is, let's say a person doesn't enjoy hot food. Let's say it's in the summer. You don't want to eat a hot cholent. You wouldn't have to eat it according to the Ramah. But there's another reason why you're supposed to eat hot food. Because if you think about it, this before you begin the parak, and once we get into the parak, you'll certainly think this way. There's so many shilas when you get involved with Bishul on Shabbos. So just don't eat any hot food. And you won't have any shilas. So they were very makbid, they were very careful to eat hot food on Shabbos. Because the pasuk says, "Loisuvaru eish b'chomash v'seichem b'yom haShabbos." You're not supposed to burn fire on Shabbos. Now, how do we define that pasuk? That you're not allowed to light, you're not allowed to do havar on Shabbos. The tzedokim used to say, "Loisuvaru eish b'chomash v'seichem," that you're not allowed to have a fire on in your house on Shabbos. So they could obviously never have any hot food on Shabbos. Because we want to specifically show that we don't agree with them, so Klal Yisrael and all of the generations was makbid to have something, eat something or drink something hot on Shabbos to show we don't agree with their approach. So there are two terms that we have to become extremely familiar with. One is Shia and the other one is Chazara. Shia means leaving on something on the fire. Again, we're going to talk in the simplest way. Because if you think about it, especially after we're learning already 35 blad of Masechta Shabbos, why should leaving something on the fire Erev Shabbos be Asr? There's no Isser doing Malach on Friday. The Isser is on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook. But if I have a pot and I put it on the flame Friday afternoon, it's a minute before Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos. It's Mutter. Why is it Asr? So the answer is, again, this is the way. In this Mishnah, there are a lot of different approaches. We're going to learn one approach, otherwise we can get confused. This is the way Tosfos learns, and this is the way the Shulchan Aruch seems to learn. The reason is Shem Yechat B'Kholim. They lived in a world of fire, of coals, and there's a concern that you're going to stoke that fire if you see it dying out. So that's why on Friday afternoon, I would say she is Aser. At least that's the way the Rabbanan learn. We'll see it's Machlokes Chananya and Rabbanan. In order to avoid that problem on Shabbos, on Friday is no problem. That's Shia. What's Chazara? First, let's define the word. Chazara means to put something back on the fire. So as we'll learn in the Perek, there are special rules when Chazara may be mutter. One, you have to have a mind when you took it off, you're going to put it back on. You have to have not put it down permanently. We're not going into the details of Chazara. But Chazara is also on Shabbos. Chazara is only, according to most Rishonim, only applicable on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to put it on something on the fire, even though it's a cooked item. So you're not re-cooking something. You're not allowed to put it on the fire on Shabbos. Why? Two reasons. One reason is the same reason as by Shia. Shem Yechat B'Kecholim. The food might have cooled off after you took it off from the oven. Now you put it back on and you want it to get nice and warm again, so you may stoke the fire. That's one reason Chazara is Asr. But Chazara has another reason that it's Asr. Mechsi Kemevashel. It looks like you're cooking. If somebody comes into my house and he sees me putting a pot on the flame, he doesn't know what's going on here. From all he's concerned, I just prepared a food and I put it on the fire on Shabbos. So because of that, since it's Mechzik Mevasha, it looks like I'm cooking on Shabbos, that's why Chazar is awesome. Those are the terminology we should learn.
Why does Mechzik Mevasha play a Shia?
Because it can't have Mechzik Mevasha on Friday.
No, but when it's on the stove on Shabbos, someone will say, maybe you just put it on the stove.
Kemevashel means looks like you're cooking. If you didn't see you do anything wrong, why should I assume you did something wrong? So says the Mishnah, Kira. What is a Kira? Kira was an oven that had room for two pots. So firstly, as we're going to learn in later Mishnayos, they had different types of ovens. Tanner was an oven, which is a furnace, which had much more intense heat. We're not going to talk about a tanner today. A kira is an oven with less heat than a tanner. It had, because it was wider, so there was more room for the heat to dissipate, and had a larger opening. Ramosha says, and this is going to be very relevant as we get a little into halacha lemaisa, that the ovens that we have today, we should consider them kira. So whatever we're going to learn now is the halacha for kira. Obviously, we use different types of fuel. Will be usr. We'll have the same din. So kira shasikua that was heated up the kash of gvava with straw or stubble, nice and light tafshel. You're allowed to leave again, we're going to learn the Gemara, we're going to learn the Mishnah the way Rashi says we should learn. We're allowed to put something off Friday afternoon. We just said we should be concerned. Shem yichata b'gecholim. You may stoke the fire. So the way most Rishonim learn, you don't have to worry about it. Why don't you have to worry about it? Because since I use such a poor item of fuel, I'm showing that I don't have any intention to keep this really hot or to stoke it. Because if I was really wanted to use something to get this food nice and hot, I wouldn't use such an inferior material. So that's why I showed that I don't care and I don't have to worry that you're going to stoke the fire. However, begefes or be'etzim, if you use as a fuel, gefes means the pulp of sesame, which is a very good fuel, or etzim is wood, lo yitain, there you're not allowed to do it. Why? Because since you're using a very good fuel item, so now we're worried that you may stoke the fire. So even though it's Friday afternoon, I'm concerned that you may stoke this fire. And until, actually yigroif, yigroif means that you shovel the coals away, the wood or the coals, or actually yitin as afer, or unless you put ashes on top of it. So again, how do most Rishonim learn? What is the purpose of Gruf of a Ketuma? Words that we will constantly see over and over again. To show that I know that I'm not supposed to stoke this fire. I don't care about this fire. Because if you wanted the fire, you're not going to put ash on it. If you wanted the fire, you're not going to push it to the side. Now, there's a very fundamental question. When we speak about Grufa, how do you, Machloikas Rishonim, how do we accomplish Grufa? Do we have to shovel everything away? Or if we just shovel it to the side, is it adequate? So the way we're learning the Gemara, that the purpose here is just to show a hecker, to show a sign that you're not interested in this fire, and you're not going to stoke it. Even if you pushed it to the side, it would be enough. And that's the way many Paiskim learn. Other Rishonim say that you have to push the entire thing away. Why? Because if you don't push it away, that coal is a real live coal. And there's a concern that you're going to stoke it. How about Ketuma, covering it up? There, everybody agrees that that's enough. You just have to spread out ashes. Because every piece of coal is covered with the ash. That will be a hecker not to stoke it, and you have nothing to worry about. Now the question is, let's talk a little halach l'maisa in our world. We don't live in a world of coals and wood. We live in a world of gas ranges. What's the halacha of a gas range on Shabbos? So Rav Aaron Kotler says, Rav Shimon Ida quotes Rav Aaron Kotler, says a gevaldige chiddush. He says, you know how you accomplish grufa ketuma in our gas ranges? By covering the knobs. He says, because what's the hochshash? Shem yichat b'gecholim. But if the knobs are covered, that's enough. Because if you're going to come on Shabbos, you're going to come home and you'll see that something, the fire is not good, you're going to want to adjust it. You won't have a problem. Why won't you have a problem? Because you'll have the knobs covered. That's Rav Aaron's chiddush. Rav Moshe disagrees, and we know that that's the way everybody does it. Rav Moshe says the fire has to be covered. How do we accomplish Grufa Ketuma? By covering the fire. What is the point of covering the fire? Because Rav Moshe says, and he says that's really what the Mishnah is saying, the hecker, you have to make a hecker. But it's not just that you have to make a hecker. Because you could ask a simple question. So put up a sign. Put up a sign at Shabbos. What do you have to do, Grufa Ketuma? Put on your oven a sign. Make a nice business. Make signs. Shabbos Kodesh. Rav Moshe says what the Mishnah is telling us is the hecker has to be in the fire. The hecker has to be in the fire. By covering the knobs, I made a hecker, but I didn't make a hecker in the fire. That's why you have to cover the fire. But the right thing to do is also cover the knobs. So let's say your knobs on the front, you should buy a blech with a lip to cover up the knobs. Because the truth is, Rav Aaron is right, what controls the fire is the knobs, not the fire. So the best thing is to do is to cover both. However, let's say you have a hot plate. That the hot plate is like this. You can't make it higher or lower, and it doesn't cook. It just keeps warm. That would be mutter without anything. Because it's a plata. In Israel, it's called a plata. Why? We call it a hot tray. Why? It's mutter. Because there's no reason to say it's osur. The interesting question, Rav Moshe says, is like this. What's the reason we're saying that you have to make Rufik Tuma. Shem Yechat B'Gecholim, I may stoke the fire. So what's going to be the halacha if I put the fire on the highest? What's Pshat Shem Yechat B'Gecholim? I may make the fire higher. Here I can't make the fire higher, I have the flame on the highest. So what are you going to tell me? The concern is they may make the fire lower. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, Shem Yechat V'Kacham, I may make it higher. The Gemara doesn't talk about making it lower. So would you require a blech then? So Moshe said, because of Loi Plug, that you can't say, well, it makes a difference on what stage the knob is, it's usher, you have to have a blech under all circumstances. Two more questions. That's so much to say, but two more quick questions. The first question is not that relevant nowadays, but it's an interesting shaila. You know, in the old times when the ovens had a flame, had a pilot light, you had the wide ovens, I still remember this when I grew up, we had a wide oven that had a pilot light between the burners. And it was hot there because the pilot light was on all the time. Could you leave something on top? You don't see the fire. Could you leave something on top of it without a blech? You don't have any fire on. Your gas range is closed. You're just leaving something there Friday afternoon without a blech. Would it be mutter or asr? Do you have to have a new hecker? Or do you just, the fact that the fire is not visible, it's covered, it's enough? Where's the question? Why am I saying this question? It doesn't really have that much relevance to the world that we live in, because we have smaller ovens with no pilot lights. Where is the negeya? It's negeya like this. If you think about it, the blech doesn't accomplish anything in making the fire less. Because let's say the blech is a flimsy material. Or, it's not a flimsy material, it's a good piece of metal. But if the blech is diminishing the heat, so what do? You make the heat a little higher. What is pshat in the hecker? Is pshat in the hecker that I have to affect the fire? Or is pshat in the hecker is that there's a hecker that will prevent me, it's a simen, that will prevent me from doing anything to the fire? As long as I have a hecker that will stop me from when I get to the fire, it doesn't make a difference if it has an effect on the fire. Where will the shaila be relevant? I'll tell you another shaila that the Pais can talk about. Let's say, and people make this mistake, the right thing to do is put on the fire and then put on the blech. But what a lot of people do is, and I understand why they do it, because they want to make sure what the fire will look like after the blech is on, they first put on the blech and then they turn on the fire. That may be no good, be a problem. Why is that a problem? You have to make a hecker in the fire. So you have to have a fire and then make a hecker. But if you're going to put the blech on and then only put on the fire, you didn't make a hecker in the fire. Let's continue. Beis Shammai Omrim, Chamin Avloi Tafsho. So according to Beis Shammai, the only thing, even if you do it the right way, with Grufa Ketuma, the only thing that you're allowed to put on is hot water. That doesn't really get better, so there's no chshash of Shem Yechat B'Kholim. Avloi Tafsho, a food item that will get better is osur, even under all circumstances, even with Grufa Ketuma. V'Sol Omrim, Chamin V'Tafsho. If you do Grufa Ketuma, you're always allowed to do Shia. Now continues the Mishnah. Now we start, according to the way we're learning the Mishnah, a new shaila. Now we're talking about chazara. And according to Beis Shammai, chazara is never permitted. Beis Hillel says, af machzirin, under certain circumstances, chazara is also mutter. And the Achronim make a nice diyuk. Nobody's talking about that you're allowed to take something off the fire. There's no reason you shouldn't be allowed to. So what does the Mishnah say, noitlin? The Mishnah should have said, avaloi machzirin, you're not allowed to put something back on. So the answer, very nice. We said before that everybody will agree that chazara is osur if you take it off with the intention to leave it off. So says the Mishnah, Neitlin, when you take it off, make sure that you have intention, machzir, to put it back on. Because if you don't have intention to put it back on, chazara will never be mutter according to anyone. Ibayilhu, begins the Gemara with a shayla. Hai la yitain, when it says the Mishnah la yitain, not the way we learned, la yachzir, means that you're not allowed to make chazara. Avlishois, shia, will be mutter, mashin, afabish, and a garfah in the kotam. According to this, you're allowed to leave something on the fire Friday afternoon without anything. Umani, and whose sheet is that? Chananyahi. The Tanya. Chananya Omer. Chananya says a very big kula. Kol kshumachal ben drusoy. As soon as the food is cooked, kshumachal ben drusoy, which we learned as machloikas rishonim, either half cooked or third cooked. And we say by the rice we always go lechumra. If it's a chumra to say a half, we'll say a half. If it's a chumra to say a third, it's a third. It's a very interesting machloikas I saw. What is pshat half cooked? So chazanish or third cooked? Chazanish says that we look at the food. If this food item takes 2 hours to cook, so half cooked is after an hour. The Pnei Shabbos, the Sefer Pnei Shabbos, brings that from the Klois Meger Rebbe to disagree. He says it doesn't depend on time, because you know, interesting, food gets cooked more towards the end than at the beginning. So if it takes a food to get cooked 2 hours, doesn't mean it's half cooked after an hour. So he says cooking depends not on time, it depends on actually when is it half cooked and when it's not half cooked. So he says, according to him, you're allowed to leave that food on the oven, apish and garikotim, which is not the way we learn. The Mishnah is talking the way we explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah is teaching us the halacha shia. The garikotim, and dafk, if the oven is garikotim in, that's when you're allowed to do shia, eloi loi. Otherwise not. The koshkein, lahachzir, will certainly be also in Shabbos, because as we explained, chazor is certainly more of a problem than shia, because chazor also has the added concern of mechzik mevashim. Toshma, midik toni trebi obi misnisim. The Mishnah talks about two things. First, the Mishnah starts with loyitain, and then the Mishnah at the end says, noit lavaloi mechzirin. So what is the Mishnah seemingly saying? Midik toni trebi obi misnisim. And then the second case was, so let's, if Amrit, like we learned, Lisha Tanan, so the Mishnah works great. Hochik Tani. Tafsho, Kirish Tziku Bekasha Begavava, if it was stubble or straw, Mashnala. Why, like we learned, there's no concern of Shema Yichata. Mashnala Tafsho. If it's begat, it's beitzim. However, if it's fuel or sesame pulp, lo yishat shiyigreif or shiyitin eifer, until you do grufuk tuma. Or mahi mashin. Now we have a new machlokes. When she is mutter with grufuk tuma, what items are you allowed to do? Machlokes v'sham esil. V'sham ram chamav avloi tavshul. V'sil ram chamav tavshul. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah. The kiheich of the pligi b'lishois. Just like we have a disagreement between Beisham Beisil by Lishois, we have another disagreement, pligi nami b'lahachzer. They have a machlokes l'hachzer. She Beisham oimrim noitin l'avloi machzirin, or Beisil oimrim af machzirin. That's separate machlokes. However, ask the Gemara, eli yamrit l'hachzik tan. If you're going to tell me that the entire Mishnah is talking about chazara, hachitani. If the fuel is kasha gvava, machzirin le tavshol, then chazor is mutter. The gefis be'etzim, if it's gefis eitzim, lo yachzi, you're not allowed to do chazara, achi yigrev, achi yitinefer, until you do grufek tumah. And now we ask, umahe machzirin, b'shamei omrim, chamin avloi tavshol, dafka hot water, but not tavshol, because it's something that you're more likely to stoke, or b'shamei omrim, chamin avloi tavshol. But now, I don't understand the last words of the Mishnah. B'shamar m'noitan avalai machzirin. Or b'shalam af machzirin. The question is, ha'sulamali, why do I need this case? It's just a repetition. So, if we learn the Mishnah, and that's, if we learn the way the Gemara explained, it seems that the Mishnah is teaching about Shia, not about Chazara. Says the Gemara, l'oilam eim loch l'hachsa t'nan. The Mishnah begins with l'hachsa. V'chsuri mechzir v'och k'tani. This way you have to learn the Mishnah. Kirish is a kubik kashuk b'gvava. If it was heated up with kashuk gvava, machzir le tavshol. The gefetz be'etzim lo yachzer until achi yigrev achi yitin seif, until you do grufak tuma. Aval lishois regarding shia mashin afbish and garfai nekotim. That's always mutter. Now my mashin, what is she? What that was saying she is mutter, because we're going according to Chananya that says she is mutter. B'shamer merchamin avaloi tavshol. Dafka, even when she is mutter, it's dafka on hot water, not on a food item. Now we jump back to chazara. V'ha chazara, the amiloch, this chazara they discussed, that it's mutter, don't think that everybody agrees. La'av divrei hakol hi. It's not everybody's opinion. El machloikis, it's machloikis. Beshamai, or beshilal. B'shamay Omrim Noitlan V'loy Machzirin, that Dafka Chazor is never mutter, and Beisel Omrim Af Machzirim. So what the Mishnah essentially is saying is that this Mishnah that talks about Chazorah is only going according to Beisel, not according to B'shamay. What is the obvious question here? The obvious question is, when you learn the Mishnah, as we learned the Mishnah, it's the simple way to learn the Mishnah is the first part is talking about Shia, and the second part is talking about Chazara. Why do we have to go through all these somersaults to try to figure out the Mishnah, that it should comply with Hananya? Just say that the Mishnah is talking about Shia, and it goes like the Rabbanan. So the Rishonim say, this is a proof that the Mishnah is going out of its way to figure out that the Mishnah should work with Hananya, because the Halacha is like Hananya. So I'm going to learn the Mishnah and make it even a little difficult to understand, because that's the halacha. And that's the way the Ramah paskins. The Ramah paskins like Chananya. That means according to the Ramah, I'm telling you a big chiddush, you can leave a pot on an open fire. If you don't intend to put a pot back on the oven on Shabbos, which many people never do, then you can leave it without a blech. As long as it's cooked, k'macha ben drusoy. Half or third cooked. The Rambam doesn't pass him like Hananya. The Rambam passing is like the Rabbanan. And he says that even for Shia, you should have a Grufuk Tumah, which in our world is called the Blech. The interesting Shaila is, we always go with the Ramah. Why do we over a sudden over here pass a Machmer like the Rabbanan? Not like the Rambam, not like the Ramah. Ashkenaz to choose. So there's two reasons. The first reason is because the Mishnah Berurah says you may want to put something back on the oven Shabbos, and if you don't have a blech, even Hananya will agree that Chazor is Osir. That's one reason why we are careful. Another reason the Paiskim say is because there is a shita, the Rashba says that even if a food is half cooked or it's makom and desoy, if more cooking for a food makes it better, even Hananya will agree that Grufik Tumah are required. Since many foods, cholent is a perfect example, get better the longer you cooked. That's why Hananya will tell you that everybody will agree you should have Grufa Ketumah even for Shia.